T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Get ready. Hart and Cattles are about to go live on your radio, covering Boston sports and beyond. And it all starts right now. Hart and Cattles on EEI.
No, not at all. Doesn't bother me. It's just, it's one of those things that I think it's weird that so many, like the media or fans, everybody wants to bring it up like it's such a big deal. It's like, to me, I don't think of it like that. Like I said, he's not here. I don't know. I'm not replacing him. Like, yeah, I was part of the trade, like whatever, but like we're out there playing games, man. We're competing. I don't think about it. I don't know what people want me to say I do, because I don't. Like, do I watch them? Do I watch baseball around the league? Yes, I watch everything. I love baseball, so I love watching it. But to go out there and to feel some type of pressure, or to feel some type of way about myself, like I need to show something, I need to hit homers or rob homers all the time to fill this void that Mookie left. No, I don't have that. I just, my job is to get on base, to try to make this game a little bit easier for the guys coming up behind me and in front of me.
Well, he was a star last night. I know he doesn't want to talk about replacing Mookie Betts, but he was a star last night. And Andy, we wake up today. We wake up this morning. We led the show with it. Your Boston Red Sox, Andy Hart, are one game out of a playoff spot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they may make the playoffs. That's fine. I have this old theory. Yeah. With lots of things. Like, there are starters in any sport, and then there are guys who start games. Just because you're in the starting lineup doesn't mean you're really a starter. And just because you're in the playoffs in any sport doesn't really mean you're a playoff team. Sometimes there are teams in the playoffs that don't deserve to be there, and just how the numbers fell in any given season. The Red Sox may make the playoffs, but from what I've seen, I'm not sure I would term them a playoff team.
No.
But
no,
I will.
I would not say that.
I will say, kind of like Verdugo.
Oh,
he's growing on me quick. And it's not just the two home runs and the catch. I can tell you a lame-ass thing, and you can make fun of me. Maybe this is the little league coach in me, now the pony league coach in me. I think it was his first game. He grounded out to second base, and he sprinted his ass off down the line, and he almost beat it out. He caught I don't remember who the second baseman was. Caught him a little off guard because he was sprinting down the line.
He's like, wait a minute. Is that a Major League Baseball player sprinting down the baseline on a ground ball?
Who's the try-hard? That's a ground ball to second. Jim Hero. So that kind of grew on me. Now, if that's all he was, he would annoy the hell out of me. But when you add that to he's talented and he has power, he has athleticism, he can play defense, all these things, I think he's a really interesting guy to keep an eye on, because obviously he's been playing part-time. He certainly looks like he should be playing more than part-time right now, especially since Benintendi's batting, whatever, 12 or something. He's in the, like, below 100. I don't even know what's below 100. I know 200's the Mendoza line, right? What's the 100 line? Is it the Benintendi line? Because what's when you bat line? Less than 100?
The end, because it should be the end for you if you hit under 100. He's hitting 0.61, by the way, is Benintendi.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree with you about Verdugo. I tweeted out earlier this week at Nick C Radio at Jumbo Hart.
I'm not familiar.
I tweeted out that, you know, I like Verdugo. I like Verdugo. And, you know, it's going to sound strange. I don't really know the best way to kind of describe it, but I think you'll be able to pick up what I'm putting down, Andy. When you watch
the
sports.
Rock over here.
Yeah, you like that?
I can smell what you're cooking.
That's right. It's a SmackDown hotel.
Cattle's Kitchen.
No, don't get me going with professional wrestling. I'll sit here for the next 10 minutes. By the way, the lead-in show?
Yes, I heard the lead-in doing the Mount Rushmore
of WWE?
Yes.
Holy crap. Anyway, when you watch certain athletes, when you've been watching sports for, you know, decades, there's just like this it factor where you watch somebody and you go, that dude can play. And I kind of get that feel with Verdugo, where everything he does is like smooth. His swing is beautiful. You know, he's got enough wheels. He's fun to watch in the field. He's got that personality. Like last night, he robs the home run in the bullpen, and he's screaming out loud. Like, it's COVID-19. You have no fans in the stadium. And, you know, he's still, because of who he is apparently, he's still able to garner that energy and scream and be so involved in the game. I just watch him, and I think he's a good baseball player. You could tell right away. They talk about, you mentioned it, like tools. Yep. It's toolsy. It's just athleticism. And you look at somebody, you go, that guy has it. Now, you know, Benintendi also looked that way early on in his career. So right. I'm not telling you that Verdugo is a guarantee. What I will tell you is Verdugo's ass better be in the lineup every single night. Until he proves otherwise, until he falls off a cliff, until he turns into a pumpkin, whatever you want to say, he's got to be playing. And I also think he's got to be hitting leadoff. Put him in leadoff. If you're going to play Benintendi, which you shouldn't at this point, he sucks this year. He might turn it around. I don't know. It'd be a borderline miracle at this point. That the only hope you have for Benny is that he's going to walk. That's the only thing he's doing well this year, is he's drawing walks. He can't hit right now. Put him in the ninth spot if you're going to play him. Put him in the ninth spot and put JBJ in the eighth spot, whatever you got to do, and put Verdugo in the leadoff spot. I think you've got to make that change right now. Don't sit around. Don't wait for it. It's a 60-game season. Put Verdugo in the leadoff spot. You've got Verdugo, then you've got J.D. Martinez, who, by the way, is also scuffling at the plate. But you, at least if you get Verdugo going, you've got to believe that J.D. is going to get going at some point. You've got to believe that Devers, who's also looked lost for long stretches so far at the plate. But at least, you know, you've got Verdugo. You'll have J.D., I'm sure of that. And Xander is on fire right now at the plate. So at least that gives you, you know, three guys, and Vasquez is hitting pretty well. Gives you three or four guys in the lineup that you can go in at least feeling pretty good about.
And in Verdugo in particular, I'm really intrigued to see how he evolves as a personality, is embraced as a Red Sox personality. Because if you remember, his arrival was certainly controversial on a lot of levels. First, he's coming in a trade for Mookie Betts, and he addressed that. Like, yes, he was part of the trade, but he doesn't think he's replacing him. There's a little maybe comparison to the way Cam Newton is approaching his new job in Foxborough, replacing Tom Brady or playing quarterback for the Patriots after Tom Brady. But then you also remember the two biggest things about Verdugo had nothing to do with his talent or even Mookie. It was the back injury. He was injured. He arrived injured. He was being traded, and, you know, the whole talk was he couldn't even, like, get milk out of the refrigerator. He was so hurt. And, I was concerned. He may have benefited as much as anybody from a pandemic, you know, delaying sort of the evolution of this Major League Baseball season.
Gave him time. Yep.
And the controversy about the sexual assault and the online postings and what his role was in that were, you know, a talking point. You know, what kind of guy are you getting? Because Mookie Betts, there, you know, there's not a lot of criticisms of Mookie Betts on or off the field. So now you're getting a guy, A, he's probably less of a player. Until he wins an MVP, he's a lesser player. I don't care how good he is. And then he has these sort of off the field questionable. He's hurt. He's in this controversy. You know, what kind of guy are you getting? So now you have to, if you're him, that beat you to Boston. Your history, your reputation, your injury beat you to Boston. That was the
talking
point.
You're behind the eight ball.
Right.
First day, you're behind the eight ball.
So now you're digging out of whatever that whole perception thing is.
Yep.
And he started the process. Like, you can feel a little momentum there. Now it's different because there's no fans, and so it's sort of from afar. But he has started that process. Don't tell me he hasn't brought energy to the first couple weeks of this season, to the point where, you're right, he should play every night. He probably should be leading off. He has shown the ability, and he's got a look to him. You know, he's got a certain dynamic to him that makes him unique. Now, some of it's the same.
Quoi.
Yes,
a
je ne sais quoi.
He's got a je ne sais quoi.
But, you know, the chains are rattling around, and he was mic'd up for one of the games. Nesson's doing a lot of mic'd, and he was like, yeah, I got nobody to talk to. Usually this fan.
Yeah, I saw that. That was funny. I saw that.
JBJ is way over there. I can't talk to him. Like, he seems like he has a little of what baseball's looking for. Like, yes, somebody that people tune in to watch or
personality.
Right. And, yeah, you know, I know Rob Bradford, my boss over at WEEI.com, you know, posted a video and it's getting a million clicks on his Twitter because I think people are interested in young, entertaining players. And especially this year, as much as anything, it's a little bit of a weird year. And combine that with some of your stars or your supposed to be stars like Devers and those guys are struggling. I think Verdugo is exactly what the Boston Red Sox need right now.
Hart and Cattle, Sports Radio WEI. I agree with you. As I said, I think he's got to play every day. A couple of other things aside from Verdugo and Xander, especially Xander, who's just on a tear. It's great to see Xander. I mean,
is he on a tear or is he just tremendously good?
Well,
like,
he
is on a tear, but
both.
I think he's underrated. I don't think he gets the star recognition that he is. It's like, is he on a tear or holy crap, he's just a really, really good hitter and shortstop.
Well, I would say it doesn't have to be mutually exclusive, right? Like, I think he's on a tear right now because he's, I mean, as good as he is and he's really good and I do think he's underrated, he's even above that level right now at the plate over the last, you know, 5-6 games. He's locked in, right? The other thing I think that you could take out of last night's game, there are two things, and they both have to do with the pitching.
Uh-oh. Can't be good.
The bullpen, I'm going to give credit to. And you feel like they're finding something a little bit here with the bully. Heath Embry's been very good this year. Austin Bryce, I know Eck's been talking Austin Bryce up. He keeps calling him the Danny Darwin of this Red Sox roster. That's an old school
nice
shout out with the Danny Darwin. But you've got Austin
Wasn't
Bryce.
Wasn't he the Jeff Bagwell trade? Hmm. Did I hear about Danny Darwin from the Astros for
so.
Jeff Bagwell?
Yeah, I think he's Astros.
That didn't work out.
So you've got Austin Bryce, who is finding that role. Barnes, he survived last night. He survived last night. It's the best
I'll
say
do
about him.
Live to play another play.
Yeah, a little bit of a tightrope act. Kind of like Martin Perez, same thing the other night, Wednesday night. A little bit of a high wire act. But Barnes got through it. And then you've got Workman. You know, if you've got Hembry, Bryce, Barnes, and Workman, you got to mix in, you know, a lefty, which it might end up being Darwinson. It might be, you know, he might be able to come back from the COVID situation. Taylor as well. You've got a couple of left-handed options, hopefully in the next week or two, where you can put together a pretty decent bullpen. The problem is the second part of the pitching conversation.
Which their is starters, the first part.
Yeah, the starters. See, I started with the good to just end
Look
it with
at
the,
you. Staying positive.
Well, just to finish it up with a crap sandwich. Because if you watched Ryan Weber last night and you're listening to Eck and you're listening to Remy and even O'Brien a little bit, man, could you tell that behind closed doors, this dude is getting raked over the freaking coals. And we had the sound. I don't know if Eamon can find it. We had the sound of Renicky when he was, you know, when he was asked about Weber last week. And I think Renicky's answer
was tremendous.
Said everything you needed to know about how the team feels about this guy. And last night, you saw Weber. He's got a 2-run lead. It's the fourth inning. Leadoff man gets on. Renicky pulls his ass right out. Like he had absolutely zero leash. And he doesn't deserve the leash.
But right.
As soon as the guy got on, Eckersley is saying, you got to get him out. it became a fire drill almost. It was like, you've got to get this dude out of the game immediately.
What do they call that? A vote of no confidence?
A vote of no confidence, yes. That's a lack of confidence vote.
Who do we have that we can say that we're going to put in that's going to be better than Ryan?
What do you want me to do?
That's it.
Who's better?
That's thank you, Eamon. Great job for pulling it. That's the cut. There's Renicky pretty much saying, yeah, I know this guy sucks, but honestly, I can't put a dog out there on the mound. What am I going to do with this?
In football coaching circles, they, you know, ask you to take chicken you know what and turn into chicken salad.
Yes.
I think Ron Renicky just basically labeled him chicken you know what. And
I don't even, as Judge Judy, one of my favorite people in the world would say, there is no basically. There is no bait. That's exactly what he did. That is precisely what he just did. 617-779-7937. But hey, your Red Sox one game back of a playoff spot, Hart. One game
we
back.
Don't suck. Well, we do suck, but we could still make the playoffs.
The text line is
37. That chant really rolls off the tongue. We suck, but we'll still make the playoffs. Woohoo!
Yeah, I think we should print t-shirts. 37937 is a text line. Twitter, at Jumbo Hart, at Nick C Radio. We'll continue Hart and Cattle Sports Radio WEEI.
Drive home with OMF, weekday afternoons 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers, proud sponsors of the WEEI Ford Clubhouse Studios at Fenway Park. Celtics win last night against the Raptors, stomped Toronto 122-100. Jaylen Brown led all scores with 20 points. Celtics back in action tomorrow evening, 5 o'clock tip-off with the Orlando Magic. Bruins, they're off until tomorrow. They'll play the Caps at noon on Nesson. The winner of that game will be the 3 seed in the Stanley Cup playoffs. The loser of that game will be the 4 seed of the Stanley Cup playoffs. If you're the 3, you will play the New York Islanders. If you are the 4, you play the red-hot Carolina Hurricanes. Red Sox beat the Blue Jays last night 5-3 at Fenway. Alex Verdugo, he stole the show. He was the guy. 2 home runs in a robbery of another home run out in right field. Sox Jays back in action tonight. Zach Godley, or as Andy said earlier, Zach not so godly, goes for the Sox. Chase Anderson for the Jays. 6:30 is the pregame. Will Fleming, then Hall of Famer Joe Castiglione, will join him in the booth for the 7:30 first pitch from Fenway Park.
Let's hope the Sox can chase him early.
Thank God we only have 30 minutes of this show left.
I know, it's going downhill quick. The Mid-American Conference, talking about going down quick, that might be college football, unfortunately, in the fall.
I thought you were going to go a different direction there.
Yeah, the MAC has canceled their football season due to COVID-19. And also, school presidents of the Big Ten, they're scheduled to meet today. Pete Thamel reports from Yahoo Sports there is some momentum towards canceling the season altogether. Yes, none of this is good. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Saturday calls for more sports talk, and we got it for you right here. Back to Hart and Cattles on EEI.
Hart and Cattles Sports Radio WEEI. Let's get back into some Patriots. Andy, we spoke a lot about the Patriots early on in the show.
Yeah.
A lot of Zoom calls were done yesterday, which
is
great.
Very exciting.
I found Cam Newton talking about his motivation level. I found it to be a very interesting way to look at things. Eamon, if you want to grab that, because I think it does give us a look into how Cam operates. So, you know, when you look at the IG videos, you know, you might think one way, but when he's asked about the ending with Carolina, when he's asking whether or not that kind of drives him, if that motivates him, I find it fascinating, you know, how he handles those kinds of questions, because I do, like I said, it does give you kind of a window to look into who Cam is. And here is some of that from yesterday.
I don't have to prove nothing, because at the end of the day, especially not to nobody, I have to prove to myself. That's a daily challenge. And I don't think nobody's expectations will ever surpass my expectations for myself. And I'm just looking forward to the challenge. And, you know, knowing and picking up this whole system, not only the philosophical way of the offense, but also, you know, how things are ran. You know, this is a new team. I've only been kind of geared towards one particular team and one particular city. But now moving, you know, to a whole nother residence has kind of put the onus of trying to adapt. And that's something that has been rather the interesting part.
All right, a couple things. First of all, I do think that tells you that Cam puts a lot of pressure on himself, that he tends to look at himself and says, hey, if I can take care of what I can take care of, everything else is going to fall into place. And so he's somebody who is very self-motivated and driven. However, Andy, I'm going to call BS a little bit here with Cam.
Good.
Because when you come out and you say, I couldn't care less about what anybody else says, okay, that's fine, but you can't release the Instagram videos that you released. Because in almost every single video that he released when he signed with the Patriots, it was all about, oh, you wrote me off. You didn't believe in me. You this, you that. Well, now you can't, you know, a few weeks later, maybe he's saying right now, currently, he's not worried about that outside noise. But you can't sell me on the idea that he's never worried about the outside noise, because he told us he was with all of those videos.
That team passed on me.
Yes. Yeah, thank you. Yes.
He knows every team that passed on him. He knows that, what was one? He was the humbled Cam. This is a Cam no one's ever seen because he's never seen this Cam. The ticked off dog. The answer yesterday was BS.
You're getting one of these ticked off dogs.
Exactly. You're ticked off. Why? Because you were cut. Because everyone was doubting you. Because no one wanted to sign you. No one wanted to trade for you.
Right.
This team passed on you. People wonder if you have anything left, if you can still play the same style of football. Are you even healthy? Can you throw a football right? He has a ton to prove. And that's fine. Because a lot of football players right now, in early August, have a lot to... Tom Brady has something to prove.
Tom Brady
has to live up to the expectations that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the losingest franchise in the history of the National Football League, is a Super Bowl contender, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the
yep.
expectation. So he has something to prove. Everybody has something to prove, and Cam has to start with himself. Now, what I think he means is, you know, he's trying to look inside, right? He's trying to be focused on himself. Like, I want to prove to myself that I'm still Cam. You know, it doesn't matter. There was another quote about, you know, like anonymous people. I don't talk to anonymous unless there's a name on it. I don't worry about outsiders. I'm worried about myself. But if he literally thinks he has nothing to prove, then he's toast. I'm going to jump to the other side of that board over there and say Stidham might start. Because if he doesn't, I mean, the nature of football is prove something. And he's at the top of that pile after 2 years of, what was the number? Can I get LeBron James queued up? Because the number of losses that Cam Newton has in a row is not one. Not two, not three, not four.
Oh, boy,
you
got
to get all the way to eight, Francesa. We need a Francesa-like eight if you're going to count all of the losses in a row for Cam Newton. So if you expect me to actually believe you have nothing to prove, go bleep yourself.
One, two, Thank three, you. Thanks, four, Mike. Yep. Five, yep. six, seven, eight, nine,
nope,
10,
nope, stop it.
11,
stop it.
Whoa, 12, whoa, whoa. 13.
Mike's out of control.
Bad news for the Patriots if he's right, because if it gets up to 13 straight losses, that means the Patriots are starting the season 0-5.
Could have gone to 42. That's how much Francesa counted.
He won't get that shot. Cam won't get that shot.
This.
But he has a crap load to prove about who he is and
right.
what role he's in and who he's doing it for.
Yeah, I think, you know, you can be self-motivated, but also listening to the outside people. And I think that's what we have here. I think Cam is being honest when he says, you know, that it's from within. As a matter of fact, before I move on, because I think there's another bit of sound from Cam that tells us about his self-motivation. He was asked about how it ended in Carolina and all of that. Here's what he had to say.
The way things ended in Carolina, does that add extra motivation for you coming in here this
year? Let's just look. I wake up mad. You know what I'm saying? I don't need the fact that I'm not able to see my kids on a regular basis. That's what makes me mad. So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, for me, I'm not going to dwell on the past. You know, I think I'm a person that's a self-motivator. And, you know, even though the past is the past, I'm not going to keep looking back. And, you know, for me, it's just turn the page and move forward. You know, I wish those guys nothing but the best. And, you know, I hope that the feeling is mutual and moving on.
So, again, I think what you have here is, you know, partially telling us the truth and then the other part not so much.
Yes.
Is he self-motivated? Yes. Does he wake up mad, as he says? I'm sure he does. You know, I'm sure he wakes up motivated and angry with that chip.
I wake up mad.
However, it is borderline disingenuous, if not disingenuous, to, you know, then say, Well, you know, I'm not, you know, I'm not upset with Carolina. I'm not, like, again, maybe currently he's not as mad with Carolina. Maybe he has moved on from that side of it. But I know that I watched Cam Newton on a video, on an IG post, on a treadmill, you know, telling me about how Carolina treated him wrong and all these other things. So, you know, maybe it's not the situation right now. Maybe if we want to give credit for him and you know, credit to him for being completely honest and, you know, maybe right now he has completely moved on. But at some point, he was driven by that, which tells me he is driven by those things that are outside of his own body. So while I do think he is self-motivated, there is the bit of Cam, just like every other athlete, there is the part of Cam that does get driven by outside factors. And I'm not going to buy into the thought that this is all about just him and, you know, it all depends on him and what drives him is himself. There's other things that do get to him because he has told us so in the last month.
And it's human nature, right? Like, you want to prove people wrong.
Right.
His former employer let him go. His former employer didn't think he was good.
Oh, they
anymore.
Treated him like crap, by the way.
Right?
Like, if I'm Cam, I'm pissed. I'm pissed about Carolina. Like, first of all, you played me with a damaged shoulder for a second half of the season in 2018. Then I hurt my foot against the Patriots in the preseason. You had me play a couple of games. Then you dragged out that process and really wouldn't let me have surgery or anything like that until after the season was over. Then you went out and you floated the idea publicly that I was asking for a trade, which was could not be further from the truth. And then after that, you decided to release me in late March.
Right.
Carolina treated Cam, especially because Cam was the franchise quarterback, the most important player in that franchise's history to me, you know, the way that you treated him was inexcusable. So, you know, if Cam, maybe he wasn't being 100% honest yesterday when talking about that, and I don't think he was, but if you shot him with truth serum and he told me, yeah, screw Carolina, I can't stand that organization and how they treated me, I'd clap for the guy. I'd say that's precisely what I would say. It's not bad to have a hair across your ass when you're mistreated the way Carolina mistreated that cat.
You know who wouldn't enjoy that? Bill Belichick. Right.
Yep.
I mean, Bill's looking for these. A, there's a reason why there were 372 Zoom calls all at once yesterday. It's called in my, I believe in the divide and conquer might be the phrase, where you're just breaking the media up and you're trying to ensure that it's as small a group of reporters and small questions as possible and all that, make it as easy on everyone as possible. But he doesn't want anything coming out of yesterday. He doesn't want, like, headlines and, you know, SportsCenter breaking news. Cam Newton calls the Panthers this or whatever, calls out Matt Rhule. Like, he just say the right thing. Let's just focus on football. Let's all do our little 10 minutes and then get back to work. We have a shortened work period here to get ready to actually play football games. But there was no chance he was going to come out. Yeah, I'm motivated. I'm motivated to prove to the world I'm the best quarterback on the planet. I'm motivated to show the world I'm actually better than Tom Brady. You know, once you see me in this offense for this team, I'm going to prove Tom Brady was riding the coattails of Belichick and Josh McDaniels for years and whatever. Yeah, nobody really wants to see that, even Patriots fans, because they know it won't play out well. And that's the most important thing to Patriots fans, not what he says today. They want this to play out well. They want this to be successful with him on the field come September and October and November.
What did you say, Andy? Like, the way I look at this, though, is, listen, we can look at Cam and we can say, well, he wasn't being 100% honest with all of us.
Athletes aren't.
But you know
what? Dirty little secret, they aren't. Every time you say, Eamon, could you play the sound of X? X person is lying to some degree.
But the biggest takeaway that I take away from yesterday, and I take this away from the airport interview as well, is that at least for right now, and it's been 1 week that he's been in Foxborough or whatever, but at least for right now, Cam is trying to get it.
Yeah.
Cam is trying to play the role with the media that Bill wants him to play. And I don't think that he's stripping away his personality. He still had some fun yesterday. He still flashed a smile. He was still personable.
Yep. Whatever that was that he was wearing the grandma's outfit.
You know, the Afghan thing over his head, like what they call, whatever that is.
I don't know. It's what, after you get a perm, you got to put that on
shawl,
to protect
whatever.
It.
You know, so he still had his personality.
Is it a babushka?
A what?
I don't know.
I just looked that up. It says in Poland and in Russia, an old woman or a grandmother, North American, a headscarf tied under the chin.
I think it could have been a babushka.
That's what I'm going to start calling it.
Cam Newton and his babushka.
Breaking news here on Saturday morning.
I like it.
Babushka. That's okay. That's I guess that's what we'll call it.
Completely derailed the show.
Yeah, you did. Thank you, Eamon. We appreciate that. Job well done, sir. But you know, when you look at what he had to say, I think, you know, he did not strip himself of his personality, but he did what Belichick wants him to do. And I think that's a good start. That's a good first step. You know, I think some people were concerned about how he was going to handle the media, if he was going to make it about himself. And that might happen eventually, especially when the games start.
Yes.
But right now, what I would say is right now, the first impression that I have of Cam Newton is that he's going to try, for all the right reasons, to try to make this thing work. And he's going to try to stick with the program, and whether you want to call it the Patriot way or not, you know, he's going to carry himself in a way, like you said, that will not create a distraction.
But it's a weekend. You'd have to be a
right,
true
a-hole. That was the premise. That was the premise I used. It's a
true
a
a-hole if you're rocking the boat, you know, your first Zoom session and, you know, your first week in the building. You'd have to be a special kind of a-hole. Maybe a little bit like Antonio Brown, who lasted 11 days or whatever it was.
Yeah. After calling Mike Mayock a cracker and doing all the stuff he did. Boy, oh boy. 617-779-7937, telephone number, text lines 37937. Your thoughts on Cam Newton yesterday, the Zoom call heard around the world.
Cam.
You can tweet us at Jumbo Hart, at Nick C Radio. We wrap it all up coming up next. It's Hart and Cattle, Sports Radio, WEEI.
You're listening to Hart and Cattle on EEI.
All right, let's end this bad boy with a little bit of a grab bag, Andy Hart. Hart and Cattle, Sports Radio WEEI. Before Andy pontificates on what he wants to pontificate about, I just wanted to mention LeBron James here for a couple of minutes. Listen, he is a great basketball player, et cetera, et cetera. This is not to disrespect his ability or try to say that he's not great at what he does and that he won't be a top five player when all is said and done. But LeBron has, for a long, long time, rubbed me the wrong way with some of the histrionics on the floor and his passive aggressiveness off the floor. And, you know, putting bullets into the heads of head coaches and trying to take zero responsibility for it, all those kinds of things. And he also drives me crazy at times because it's about LeBron. And I understand that professional athletes, you know, they have huge egos and, you know, they are petty, most of them, and that's what drives them. But when the Lakers wrapped up the number one seed in the Western Conference earlier this week, LeBron said about the Lakers for the first time in 10 years getting the one seed. LeBron said to the LA Times, since 2010, right? They said, I couldn't do it. I'll enjoy this one. They said, I can't do it. I can just say it feels damn good to be the number one seed in the West for me personally. See, you already know, right? I mean, that's those couple of quotes that I just gave, I don't know, you know, if it was all in one shot or not, but that's about 15 seconds of talking or so, and he mentioned I or me six times. And that drives me crazy, especially when it's a night that your team just took the number one seed. I'm glad that LeBron was able to do it all by himself,
right,
and that Anthony Davis didn't go for 42-12 that night against Utah to help them clinch that seed. And it just drives me crazy how it's, you know, at least sometimes, me, enough is enough. Your team just accomplished it. For one night, actually talk about the team and say, we. They said that we couldn't do it. And by the way, nobody said the Lakers sucked, and nobody thought that they were, you know, not going to have a chance.
Quick question. Was LeBron in the Lakers last year?
He was.
Were they good?
They were terrible.
Oh, okay. So yeah. The I and the me, in that case, they weren't very good.
No, they weren't.
The
but this time around, though, when you were all questioning, it happened earlier in the year, too, when he said him and Anthony Davis were in the locker room at the beginning of the year saying, oh, everybody thought LeBron was washed. Who thought LeBron was washed?
Right.
Nobody said he was washed. Like, because they didn't say because they were saying he wasn't the best player in the league anymore. That means he's washed. That's two extremes. Just ridiculous.
The only doubt of LeBron James that I've ever heard, legitimate doubt, is doubt as to whether he's the best player in the history of the game.
Yeah, the MJ conversation.
Right? Yep. That's the only place he gets legitimate doubt.
I feel confident because I'm the best player in the world.
Now, I understand athletes have to create these arguments, these straw men to motivate themselves maybe at times and all of that. But the only doubt he's ever had is he better than Michael Jordan? Is he the greatest of all time? That's the doubt. You don't need to tell us and remind us how good you are
right,
and say I and me.
Yep.
We all. I tell it to my son all the time. There is not an athlete on the planet that needs to tell people how good he is. You know why? Everybody has eyeballs. Everybody can see. I don't care what sport you watch, at what level you watch. You can go down to whatever field is closest to your house right now. If you watch baseball for a half hour, you will leave there and say, that little Timmy over there, best player on the field. Right? He didn't have to come tell you I'm the best player on the field.
Yep.
You watch him hit, throw, field. Go to a local basketball court. Pick up basketball game. They're all 72. You will leave there saying, Johnny Senior over there, best player, right? You don't have to tell anybody.
Yeah.
We have eyes. We can watch. We can enjoy. And when you tell people, A, you're usually overhyping yourself. It usually leaves a bad taste. And B, it makes you unlikable. And unless you want to just play. You know when you're likable? When you just shut up and play. And this isn't about politics, by the way. This isn't anything about that. This is just a sports in general. Shut up and play. People will watch, and people will decide who the best player on the floor is, or the court, or the ice, or the field. Right?
I agree with you. And when it's a team accomplishment, when you just finish with the number one seed as a team, don't make it an individual thing.
Because if you do, you're a dink.
Thank you, Andy. You're not a dink. At least today you weren't.
Well, most people would disagree. Agree to disagree there, my friend.
Yeah, I mean... You have
some people
qualities.
Would change the N to a C.
Ooh. Hey now.
Richard.
Yeah, I'm raising my hand.
Watch out.
Sun's
That's
out,
Andy
guns
Hart.
Out.
That's Andy Hart. The other guy is Eamon. Great job, Eamon, as usual. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your weekend. We've got Laird and Fitzy coming up next. I'm back on late night Monday night. It's Hart and Cattles, Sports Radio, WEEI on a Saturday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.